Friday. Friday. It's almost like whoever named Friday knew it should be celebrated with free fries. Free Fries Friday at McDonald's. Get a free medium fries with any purchase of a dollar or more on the McDonald's app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Offer valid through 9:30 at participating McDonald's. Excludes tax.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Oh, there it is. Number 3 available. Not retired. The Steelers only have like a small handful of retired jerseys. Not an issue to get him number 3. And oh, that looks good. That looks good. The real jersey.
Wow.
With the letters and the numbers stitched on.
He ordered them already, huh?
Surely available. Available at NFLShop.com. Yeah, he's still under contract with the Broncos. That's what's amazing. Now, they're going to release him today. Here's how this is going to work. They're going to release him today as of 4 p.m. Eastern. Then he will sign a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. None of it's done until it's done. But there's no way the Broncos are going to keep him. They've already decided to move on. They gave him permission to talk to the Steelers. So it's in this weird gulf of he's a Steeler, but he's not. He's a Bronco. And really, all year long, he's a Steeler, but he's not. He's a Bronco because the Broncos are paying him $37.8 million, and the Steelers will pay him $1.2 million if the deal goes through the way we expect. So let's ride. Let's forge. Let's see what the black and gold can do with Russell Wilson under center if he wins the starting job. But all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, like competition, like, okay, go compete. We've seen Kenny Pickett. We've seen Russell Wilson. I don't know. I don't, unless this sparks Kenny Pickett to access some well of talent that we previously didn't know about and that he didn't know about either. It's going to be tough for him to beat out Russell Wilson again,
right,
if it's a fair competition.
That's right. I think it is. I mean, it's Russell Wilson. You know, we talked about it. It's a guy that's been to 2 Super Bowls. You know, he did have a, you know, groundbreaking contract and the trade and all that. There is a reason there, right? So, yeah, I look at it and go, I don't think they make this move unless they've talked about it. Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith, hey, do we want to do this? Is Russell Wilson going to fit our offense? We're going to have pressure to play him as soon as we sign him, period, right? So that's where I look at it. And, yeah, I would say tie goes to Russell Wilson there, no doubt about it. And maybe, hey, Russell, you know, like we talked about, running an offense, maybe Kenny Pickett might be better at some of that stuff. But I think the Steelers are going to play a style of football, again, that I think is going to be more conducive to what Russell Wilson is. It's not going to be a ton at the line of scrimmage. It's going to be run the ball and run the ball and, you know, oh, hey, we've run the ball well. Now we're going to take a play-action pass and throw the ball deep down the field like we used to see Arthur Smith do with Ryan Tannehill and Tennessee. And that's where Russell Wilson, I think, is at his best to play that style of football. So, yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if Russell Wilson's not the starting quarterback week 1 for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And he will be throwing to George Pickens, not Deontay Johnson. Johnson was available, and Johnson has been traded to the Panthers. Now, again, it's not official until after 4 o'clock Eastern today, and unless something goes haywire, and that rarely happens when we have heard that the deal is going to be done, and it's just a matter of waiting until the time comes to make trades. Trades can be made as of 4:01 p.m. Eastern today. Deontay Johnson goes to the Panthers. Dante Jackson goes from Carolina to Pittsburgh. They swap 6th and 7th round picks. The Steelers getting the 6 from Carolina. Carolina getting the 7 from Pittsburgh. and Deontay Johnson now off the books for the Pittsburgh Steelers at a time when, look, a lot of fans were ready to move on. The Steelers have shown they know how to draft and develop young receivers. This was a $10 million salary that they decided to dump. And the cap charge of $5.8 million that the Steelers take is more than Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson will take up combined in cap space this year, which just makes all these other moves just uncanny. $5 million, as we said the other day, for Pickett and Wilson, $5.8 million to offload Deontay Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, I think both teams got what they wanted, right? I think that's the first thing. You look at the Carolina Panthers, they need a, you know, another proven for sure commodity at the wide receiver position other than Adam Thielen, who we know is coming towards the end of his career there. So now they don't have to worry about, oh, we got to draft a guy and I hope we can develop him. He can help us out. They got a guy that they know has been there, done that, right, and fits how they want to play. So that's good for them, definitely. The Steelers had a need at corner. There's no doubt about that. You look at the corner position. Yeah, they got Joey Porter Jr., right? Levi Wallace, I believe, is still there. He might even be a free agent. I could be off about that. But either way, there's not a lot of names at that corner group in Pittsburgh where you go, oh, wow, yeah, he's played. Oh, he's good, right? Dante Jackson was going to get released, it sounded like, there in Carolina. And now he's found a home, and I think he's found a place that he's going to be on the field instantly. But I think the big thing is Pittsburgh with Dante Johnson, right, Mike? I mean, this is where I would think here is contract year, right? Guy who's been a little bit of a pain in the butt, like his whole the last few years for sure. Do we really want to go into the contract year dealing with Dante Johnson and what he might say and he didn't catch enough footballs and he might, you know, pout on the sidelines or not block for the running back as he's running into the end zone because he's mad and all that? I think they probably looked at it like that and said, man, the hell with dealing with all that. And we are the Steelers, to your point, and we know how to draft and develop wide receivers better than anybody in the sport. And, yeah, you know, I would expect them to dive into the draft, and they probably have some guys on their roster that are not household names yet that they feel like are better than we all realize, and they'll go from there.
Well, it's almost as if they knew they had two guys who would present challenges to them in Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, and which one are we going to try
to salvage
to get
here.
Pointed in the right direction? Which one are we going to work on to try to get him to mature and develop? Because if you can get through to George Pickens and if you can get him pointed in the right direction, he's got the potential to be better than he's been for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've seen it. We saw it when Mason Rudolph was airing it out to him late last year, and we'll see it when Russell Wilson rolls out, stops, and launches a missile 50 yards down the field for Pickens to go catch. We'll see that in 2024 in Pittsburgh. We'll also see Patrick Queen.
Woo!
There was a phony account, a phony Schefter account on Tuesday that said Patrick Queen was going to the Seahawks.
Yeah, right. I saw that.
Everybody believed it.
Yeah.
And that resonated for hours, duped some of the people internally, duped others on Twitter. People retweeted.
Yeah, it was Mike McDonald. He came from the Ravens.
It.
You're thinking, oh, yeah, this makes sense. Right.
Yeah. Well, instead, he's staying in the AFC North. He's going to Pittsburgh, playing for one of the top rivals for the Baltimore Ravens. 3-year deal that pays $41 million. And, you know, usually for the Steelers, it was in the early years of free agency, they would develop the linebackers, and it was almost like it is now with receivers. We develop the linebackers, contract expires, see you later, we got another one ready to go. And that was typically pass rushing outside linebackers. But they made the move, I remember, with James Ferrier after he had failed with the Jets, and they turned him into a great player for a long time. You know, an inside linebacker who has proven that he is very good. The Ravens didn't pick up the fifth-year option. They franchise-tagged Justin Madubuike instead of Queen. Queen leaves. I never got the impression the Ravens really wanted to keep him. He goes to Pittsburgh, and part of his objective will be to make the Ravens regret letting him get out the door.
Yeah, right. I mean, AFC North on AFC North crime here. Patrick Queen, I mean, he had a phenomenal year last year. I mean, I understand Baltimore can't sign him. They just gave big money to Madubuike, right? I mean, they're already paying Roquan Smith as the top linebacker in football, right? They got guys like Kyle Hamilton, you know, who's an all-pro caliber player. They're going to have to pay him like the top safety in football, you know, in another year from now. So I did not expect them to be back with the Baltimore Ravens. But Queen coming off the best year of his career, right? I mean, in an all-pro type of year. A year where I would sit there and go, man, when I watch film of the Baltimore Ravens this year, I would literally tell you, I think Patrick Queen jumped out on film more than even Roquan Smith. And that's saying a lot because I think the world of Roquan Smith. But that's the kind of year Queen had, right? I love this, right? The little Batman reference, and here we go. Yeah, because he's going to be the bad guy here. But what? Do I love this for the Steelers? Are you effing kidding me? Of course I do. I mean, you talked about it. Right, they've been trying to find a guy in the middle of the defense ever since they lost Ryan Shazier in that Cincinnati Bengals game. You know, with all this, they traded up big time in the draft to draft Devin Bush from Michigan. That didn't work out. Then he hurt his knee. So, you know, they've been looking for this guy. And it's paramount in this defense to have this kind of guy. It is. You know Pittsburgh, Blitzburg defense. It's guys going here, guys going there, people dropping out. They need a linebacker that's a ball hawk that goes, wait, you know, yeah, we went this way and this way at defensive tackle, and oh no, a gap opened up that, you know, we didn't expect. That's where they expect the super freak middle linebacker to come in and go, hey, save the day, clean up the trash, we messed up on this one, whatever. That's where Queen is going to have great value for their team. He really is. And, you know, you couple that with Hayward, T.J. Watt, some of the younger guys they got, Keanu Benton, DeMarvin Leal, right? You start to look at that. Minka Fitzpatrick still good. Dante Jackson. Steelers defense, you know, it's definitely looking on the up and up just between these two moves we've seen over here the last 24 hours.
Yeah, and look, it just shows that they understand that, I think at some level, and these moves may be a subtle admission, that the talent isn't enough. Mike Tomlin can only do so much
right,
to take the 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense, and get them to be better than the individual pieces would suggest collectively. And that's what he does. So you make the pieces better, and if Tomlin works his magic the way that he has every year since he got there, they're going to be even better as well. I got to give Lamar Jackson
it is so good.
Praise here.
So good.
Well done by him.
It was really good.
Well done by him. Paying homage to the Saquon Barkley and Tiki Barber dispute that was probably overblown a little bit. But
yeah.
Tiki joking when he said it, apparently. Joking when he said it in WFAN, but that's what Lamar Jackson said. Same quote, you're dead to us. Good luck, you're dead to me. That's great. Awesome.
That's really good.
Awesome. And now, you know, Patrick Queen is going to be one of the guys chasing Lamar Jackson around twice per year. Not that the Steelers-Ravens games weren't already compelling.
Yeah.
You throw that wrinkle in there.
Right.
Because I can't think of another time, and correct me if I'm wrong, has there been a defection like this between Pittsburgh and Baltimore?
Ooh.
I feel like there's one that I'm missing. Has there been one where, you know, good player with one team.
Right.
Jumps right to the other in free agency.
I
feel like I'm missing one.
Yeah,
I feel
think
like
there's
it's
been
obvious.
Crossover, but I don't think it is an obvious one. That I don't,
not like this.
Yeah, and I don't think like a star difference maker type of player. I do want to say, you know, there was a defensive lineman that played for both teams. Brent Urban, I think maybe he got both. But like, but no
James Harrison before he became James Harrison.
Well, yes,
James,
that's right.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Before James Harrison became James Harrison, he was with the Ravens.
Right.
And he was like bouncing around bottom of the league, and then it finally exploded for him in Pittsburgh. So, it makes an already spicy relationship even a little spicier. Or actually, even after that 20-minute detour on Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, we're still ahead of time. Let's go ahead and take a break. We're actually banking time so we don't have two-minute segments later in the show. How about that? We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Deep Thoughts by Chris Sims.
It should be yin and yang. It just sounds better that way. I mean, yin and yang goes better together than yin and yang. So, you know...
Deep Thoughts by Chris Sims. Tune in tomorrow.
That's an old video. That's an old video. That's young Christopher.
Seriously.
Early days at NBC.
God.
Ruminating in his mind in Studio 6, the studio that we have escaped on Mondays during football season, but in which you sit every other day all by yourself.
When are you going to come back up here? Are you going to move up here? Anything going to happen? I mean, what's going on? Like, let's make some moves here.
No, I'm not moving up there.
Get up here for the season. We're better when we're in person together. There was some talk that maybe you were flirting with the idea.
No.
The wife's, you know, she likes my family a lot, you know. Many have said she likes our family better than she likes you. So, you know, that's what many are saying right now.
You know, our 30th anniversary is coming up this year, and I really don't know how in the hell she has tolerated me for 3 decades. And we were together 5 years before that.
Damn.
35 years.
Woo.
She's dealt with me.
I don't know how. Right. What are you going to buy her? What are you going to do? You better do something special. I mean, you better not buy her some freaking tractor or lawnmower or something like that. It better be big. Maybe that's the Ferrari gift. Maybe that's the gift. Maybe it is.
A Ferrari.
Or a diamond that costs as much as a Ferrari. I don't know.
Listen, she doesn't want a Ferrari. And she has been over the years one of the reasons why I don't have a Ferrari, because she believes that if you engage in overt, reckless spending, you will go to hell. She believes that if you waste money on things you don't really need, you will go to hell. So...
Wow.
I've told her a few times.
Something in the Bible?
I'll drive that Ferrari.
Again, I'm not an expert
on
the Bible.
I'll drive that Ferrari straight into hell.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any passages in the Bible that say you shall not, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not buy expensive things.
Or you
That's
die.
It's really not.
Yeah.
It's really not. Although I guess it's a manifestation of coveting. You're not supposed to covet your neighbor's goods.
Right.
So, you know... Hey, he's got a Ferrari. I want a Ferrari. Ooh, I don't know. Maybe it flows from coveting, but regardless.
Okay,
maybe it's the 7 deadly sins, gluttony and sloth and greed.
Greed,
and
right.
Whatever,
I can see the
whatever,
greed,
whatever,
right.
Whatever, what's in the box.
Right.
What's in the box.
Yeah.
All right. Who's on the roster for the Philadelphia Eagles? 1 year after he left in free agency. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson was one of the guys who I think wanted too much last year. The money went. Remember, he was hanging around.
Yep.
Where's he going to go? He ends up doing a one-year deal with the Lions. That one-year deal ended with him appearing in 3 regular season games because he suffered a torn pec in week 2, came back for the regular season finale, played in the 3 playoff games that the Lions were in. Now he goes back to Philadelphia on a 3-year deal worth up to does a lot of work this time of year, up to $33 million.
Yeah.
The report is up to because in order to get the information from the agent, whoever from NFL Media had the tweet, had to put in up to, instead of saying the real value, put in up to make it look better. So the real value may be 21, up to 33. That's what we know for now, up to 33 for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I think the Eagles wanted to keep him last year, and what happened was, and I think I remember hearing this at the time, They spent their money elsewhere because they didn't think there was a shot to keep him.
Yeah, right.
Because they thought he was going to get what he wanted elsewhere. And then when he didn't, they're like, crap, it's too late now. We've blown our budget. So now he's available and they make the move and they get him back, probably for less than what they were going to spend last year.
Yeah, probably for less. Good for both sides. You know, I would think that, you know, it's somewhere close to the $30 million mark, you know, when all said and done. Right, for this caliber of player, but I mean, I'm with you. It's probably not 33, but maybe 27, 28. He can do that. Right, I know I've talked to people in Philadelphia. Right, one of the things that you asked them what was different about their defense last year is they brought up this guy right here that he wasn't there. He kind of gave them an edge, right? Gave them an attitude. We saw him do that with the Detroit Lions. Does the same type of thing. But again, damn, I mean. You know, the Eagles just doing big time things. Yeah, they got we questioned the depth, the talent at the safety position. I think they got a young stud in Sidney Brown, right? Reed Blankenship's not bad. And now you got a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson who's also a safety, can play nickel. He's kind of a hybrid type of guy there. And is the kind of guy that's going to, you know, no nonsense in the locker room, no nonsense on the practice field. He's going to set an energy and an attitude for that defense that is needed. You know, every great defense needs a psycho or two on it to lead it into Psychoville so they can play the way a great defense should. And I think that's where he has value, you know, to them organizationally. And they missed him last year. And I think, you know, you kind of explained the story the right way. So another great move by Howie Roseman and the Eagles.
I remember when we were in Kansas City last year for the first game of the season. And we all thought that the Chiefs would beat the Lions. I think everybody picked the Chiefs to win that night. Everybody on the
right.
Football Night in America pregame
right.
show.
I think Rodney picked
and
the Lions.
I remember when I walked out and saw the Lions fans. That was the first moment I thought, this might be different
right.
than what we had expected. This right. might not be the coronation that we had assumed. And then when the show ended and we were heading back inside and the teams were coming out, I saw C.J. Gardner-Johnson with the blue ski mask.
Right.
And I just saw just the way that he was moving, just the way, just that energy that was coming from him. I thought, shit, we're going to be 0-1 in our prognostications. That was the moment. I mean, so when you have that kind of fire and attitude that can become infectious, and clearly that's not the reason why they won, but it was evidence of what they were feeling
yes.
and what he can do for a team.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think it helps the Eagles more than I think we recognize.
Right.
And like you said, the defense was missing something last year. They need to get a reset.
Yes.
After whatever fell apart last year. Bringing back a guy like C.J. Gardner-Johnson helps them get that reset.
Exactly right. They're bringing back the band together. You know, Fangio was there the year they went to the Super Bowl. You got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, right? They're going to be, you know, refocused, realize what the year was last year. There's going to be an energy bump of the Vic Fangio. Ooh, we got a new defensive scheme here. He's awesome. He's been awesome. Here we go. So, you know, again, it's one of the best football teams in the land. We know that. The roster is phenomenal. They fell apart last year for a bunch of different reasons, but I just would be shocked to see it happen 2 years in a row. I would. I mean, again, everything they're doing is pretty damn good. Barkley, difference maker. Bryce Huff, big-time difference maker. I mean, a steal for $17 million a year with that guy coming off the edge. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, difference maker, attitude setter. Devontae Parker, you know, injury history, whatever. But damn, like, what a great guy to have as your third and fourth receiver. Zach Bond's got some talent as far as a middle linebacker, and they need help there at that position coming from New Orleans. So, you know, they're making all the right moves. I sit here with Philadelphia and just go, damn, are they ever going to run out of money? Are they ever? As a Giant fan, I just go, do they not operate under the salary cap? They just got players, assets, money. They got it all right now. Screw you, Philadelphia. I respect you. And I'm scared of you as a Giants fan. Screw you out of the ultimate respect. That's what I say.
Another opportunity lost by me to not wear that awesome throwback
yes,
Eagles
good,
hoodie.
Good.
You hate. You still have yours?
I still have it. I have an Eagles friend that I'm going to give it to, right? But I've yet to see him here since the season's over and all that. But I do have it. I'm giving it away, though. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Marcus Mariota, backup quarterback, departed. Who did he sign with? It was in my brain, and now it's gone.
He's Washington.
Where did he go?
He
Where
went
did
to
Mariota
Washington.
Go?
Right.
Oh, he's in the Commanders. That's right, the Commanders. He stays in the division, so they're going to need a new number two behind Jalen Hurts. And, you know, not a horrible deal for Mariota, and he'll clearly be the backup to whoever they draft with the second overall pick. But his career keeps going. Jameis Winston keeps going. The number one and number two picks overall in 2015. They're still in the game now as backups. Mariota in Washington and Jameis Winston in Cleveland.
Are you surprised by Sam Howell? I mean, he's not going to be the backup, right? Just why we're on that?
Well, that's I mean, I've seen some chatter that they might be willing to trade him, but do you trade him to? They saw enough last year to come to the conclusion. I think last year, part of the experiment last year was, can he become a franchise quarterback? Let's see. And they come to the conclusion that he can't be. So you're right. What are they going to do with Sam Howell? Do they keep three on the depth chart? Hey, look at last year. All the quarterbacks that got injured. Sam Howell's got a low cap number. Mariota comes in affordable. You draft your guy with the second overall pick. Maybe you keep three. Or maybe Howell is just a guy you hang on to until we get through the first few rounds of the draft.
Exactly.
Teams looking for quarterbacks don't get a guy, and they throw a fifth-round pick, fourth-round pick, whatever, to Washington for Sam Howell.
Yeah, I think that I think the lines will be open for Sam Howell. And I think they you know, again, maybe they keep him, right? But, yeah, to the point you always make, the you know, training camp early on in the season, maybe an injury happens, whatever, right? But, yeah, by all due indications here, It certainly seems like, yeah, Mariota is signed because they're going to take a quarterback at number two, and they go, oh, hey, now we got a good veteran backup quarterback here, right? And probably in their world, too, I mean, the signs that get spoken to me here is guys like Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury came in, and they're like, ah, no, Sam Howell doesn't fit this offense. He doesn't fit with Kingsbury, doesn't like him, right? Let alone they might not want a guy like Sam Howell sitting behind their number two pick and Jaden Daniels, who I'm calling for, right? They might not want that there. So they're like, if he plays a bad game, fans are going to be like, well, Sam Howell made some of those throws last year. So I think, you know, we're on the right track there as far as where Sam Howell is in the Commanders organization.
I really do think, though, there's wisdom in taking a step back from what used to be the notion that you need two quarterbacks and that's it. If you get down to your third quarterback, you're already screwed. I remember Mike McCarthy explaining that years ago.
Yeah.
We don't have a third quarterback. If we get down to our third quarterback, the cause is already lost. I think after last year, it makes sense to have that third guy, because even though we thought all along that the quarterback position was impervious to a rash of injuries, we saw a rash of injuries. So we can either just disregard it as an aberration or say maybe this needs to be a factor in how we shape this roster. So we have a third guy who's ready to go in case something happens and one and two can't play. We're not out there burning up the phone lines at the trade deadline, looking for anything we can, desperate to find anyone who can play. We got a guy who knows our offense, knows our system, knows our players, knows our coaches, has an apartment, ready to go. It's easier that way. I think we may see more teams doing that, which is one of the reasons why, to go completely off topic, even though we're already one step removed from what we should be talking about, Mason Rudolph's still in play for the Steelers. People thought that when this Russell Wilson stuff happened, that's it for Mason Rudolph. He's still in play. And I think it comes down to whether or not he's willing to take the league minimum to come back to Pittsburgh. But why not have three? They had three last year. Why not have three? That way, when injuries happen, you've got more protection and you're on notice after last year that it might be smart to have it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the league thinks of that situation. Do they look at it and go, wait, that was just a flash in the pan, weird type of year, right? You know, or do they go the route of, like what you're talking about, well, maybe we should keep three to protect themselves. I still think at the end of the day, because of the rules and all that, teams are going to err on, oh, we could save a little extra money by not giving this third string quarterback, you know, $1 million or $2 million, and we can maybe get another player on the roster in some other need or whatever. But, yeah, I'll be interested to see how that plays out and see, like, the ramifications through the league because, yeah, last year was definitely alarming, but we haven't seen a year like that in quite some time at the quarterback position.
And last year was the year that they brought back the third quarterback rule, and the rules and regulations they applied to using it were so ridiculous that it never got activated.
Yeah,
it never
right.
actually got
right.
used in game where you can have that third guy in uniform who doesn't count toward the game day roster. Of course, that flowed from the NFC Championship game in 2022. We've already talked about the Eagles and their moves. 49ers were the team that got bitten by that injury bug in the NFC Championship and didn't have a quarterback to finish the game. They have added linebacker Eric Kendricks, a guy who had one, could have had two, could have had three interceptions of Jimmy Garoppolo in the 2019 divisional round, the game we were at for NBC. Garoppolo throwing him to him like he was wearing a 49ers uniform that day. He now will be.
Yeah, it's a smart move by the 49ers, right? Dre Greenlaw tore the Achilles late in the Super Bowl. You know, you're not going to be ready or full go to start the football season. Kendricks, right? You know, of course, knows Staley. Staley's there with the 49ers. He can go, hey, Shanahan, he's still got some tread on the tire, right? Let alone, you know, he's played in some schemes similar to this before. So, yeah, I think this is a good move by the 49ers. You get a guy that, again, is still a good player. He's not great like he used to be, but he's still good. You pair him up with Fred Warner, and, of course, your defense doesn't miss, you know, Dre Greenlaw as much. But, you know, that's a nice signing there. And the 49ers quietly have had some good value signings here early on in free agency. To get Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos for the prices they got them, right, you got depth and, I think, pretty talented football players. Probably got two players for, you know, the price of what Chase Young is looking to get as one player, and then you lose a Javon Kinlaw and Eric Armstead. As far as letting Eric Armstead go, and we'll see where that goes, but you get Jordan Elliott to add a little depth from the Cleveland Browns. You know, I think the 49ers are doing a pretty good job here of rounding out that defense and making it a little bit better.
And I think there is brilliance in this idea of having Kendricks there, so there is an urgency to have Greenlaw back week one.
Yes.
And they can work him back slowly and build him up gradually and have him back to 100% and maybe even more rested overall than anyone else will be when the 49ers get to the postseason in 2024. So this was a smart move, prudent. And an outgrowth, like you said, Staley knows the guy. It just makes sense. He's cut. He's available. There's a relationship there. There's knowledge there of how he is. He's been one of the better linebackers in the NFL over the last decade. Moved on from the Vikings after the 2022 season.
Yep, right.
22, yeah. It was that first year with Kevin O'Connell. They held the defense together, and then they made a lot of changes. So now he lands in San Francisco and has a chance to do something he has never done, get to an NFC championship game, he's been to an NFC championship game. How dare I forget the 2017 38-7 drubbing the Vikings took by the Eagles? He was there for that.
he was.
He could be there for one that goes the other way and gets the 49ers back to the Super Bowl. By the way.
What?
Thank you to the – well, this isn't a huge point, but we were struggling to think of who high-profile turncoat was in the Ravens-Steelers rivalry, Alejandro Villanueva.
Oh.
Although not
okay.
Not as – but, you know,
you're
cornerstone
right. Still,
left tackle for the Steelers, jumped to the Ravens.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian.
Way to go, Brian. That's a good call there. Good pull.
Well done, Brian.
Well done.
All right. Break time. A certain team that is all in has been pretty quiet this week. We'll look at the Cowboys and more 2 days into free agency when PFT Live continues right after this.
You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA and Peacock.
With looking ahead at our key contracts that we'd like to address, we'll be all in. I would anticipate we'll be all in at the end of this year. And it will be going all in on different people than you've done in the past. We'll be going all in. We've seen some things out of some of the players that we want to be all in on.
You know, Jerry Jones is like somebody who hears a song he really likes and he can't get the lyrics out of his head. He wanted to use All In over and over again. That was his saying for that day, that week, that moment in his life, even if it has no relevance or applicability to what his football team is doing. And he has since addressed All In, and you know, he just says whatever he wants. I love it. And that's where we're going to start, fill in the blank. Free agency edition. When Jerry Jones says they're all in, he really means what, Chris?
I mean, they're all in for how King Jerry Jones deems all in means. I mean, that's what it's whatever he wants. You know, all in. I mean, certainly, like, right? You expect splash type moves there. All right, but I don't know what that means. Now, listen, there's a lot of logic in football, and you know this, where there's a lot of teams in football that look at free agency and go, hey, you know, After that first 24, 48 hours with all the splash signing, free agency really starts. And this is where you can get the meat and potato players to build depth and build your roster and team the right way, right? So I don't want to sit here and slam Jerry Jones, but when you make, you know, comments like that, yeah, we all sit here and go, well, I don't know, Jerry. What the hell does all in it mean? Don't say that if it's going to be, whoa, you blew us out of the water with the Trent Sieg long snapper signing. Watch out, all in. You just set yourself up for disaster there. What do you think he really means? What did you think?
Look, this is another situation that confirms my growing suspicion that all this talk about glory hole and winning Super Bowls is baloney. He's all in when it comes to keeping the Cowboys the most valuable property in all of sports.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that they are still America's team, that they still draw more eyeballs to a live game than any other team, despite not getting back to a conference championship game since 1995.
Yeah.
That is more impressive than if they had won the Super Bowl in any one of those 30 years. His ability to keep that Cowboys flag flying and to keep them where they are, regardless. Look, great book from, I can't remember who wrote the book, The 10-Gallon War, the fight between the Cowboys and the Texans. The Cowboys and what eventually became the Chiefs. They both were in Dallas for a few years, NFL, AFL, that battle is still raging. Because even though the Chiefs have won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, the Cowboys are still more valuable. The Cowboys still draw more people to watch their games. Their Cowboys are still America's team. So this is all a grift, folks. Jerry Jones is a carnival barker who is doing his job better than any carnival barker ever did, because he's getting you to come into the big top and watch the flea circus that can't get out of its own way.
No, I'm like, hey, it's. I really think he wants to win a Super Bowl. I do. I think he's at that point. But like, I don't, you know, disagree with a lot of what you're saying there. And that's the, again, the balance of the NFL too. That's hard. It is. I have these conversations with coaches from time to time where it's like, you know, how do you balance, wait, we want to win the championship this year and go all in, but I don't want to do it to where 2 years down the road we fall off planet Earth and we have no chance to even be relevant or be in the conversation. And I think that's the balancing act a lot of teams try to do. Where's that fine line of, wait, we don't ruin our future and we're still up here, but we're in the Super Bowl window and a legit Super Bowl contender, right? And yeah, Dallas seems to flirt with that a lot as far as staying in the conversation, but maybe never being totally in the top 2 or 3 teams that you feel like can actually win the Super Bowl. Right. And so far, yeah, only been losses in free agency so far. So we'll see if they start making some moves here later this week.
Hey, Dak Prescott's cap number shoots to $59.4 million at 4:01 p.m. Eastern today. They've got to get his contract and 50 other top contracts under 255.4. And 59.4 is attributable to him. That's why they've been, and this was a year ago, they were trying to figure out a way out of this mess and they couldn't extend his contract. And now they want to extend his contract. The problem is he's got leverage and he's willing to use it the same way Jerry Jones would use it if he had that leverage in the same situation. So the Cowboys are just kind of sitting back. I think that they're going to do, I don't know this, but I think they'll do a simple restructuring. They have the right under the contract to do it. They can knock the cap number down to $40 million and they still are going to have a huge cap charge next year. Even if he's not there, $50 million plus, even if he's not there, he's going to have more leverage going into next year because they can't use the franchise tag. They can't keep him off the open market. They're in a mess, and it's a mess of their own making. But, Chris, I like what you're saying about, you know, as long as they're relevant. See, if they're ever 3-14 for multiple years, the shine is coming off the star. So they've managed to stay just in the vicinity, and that's enough to keep them as the most valuable property in all of sports. And I really do think that, you can say you want to win a Super Bowl and at some point the competitive nature takes over and let's go get it, let's do this, why not us? But at the end of the day, he's winning. He's winning every single year. because his Cowboys are worth, what, $15 billion? If they were going to sell the Cowboys, I'd say $15 billion would be the starting point.
Gosh, yeah, whatever it is. We know it's top of the line, top of the world as far as sports are concerned. And, I mean, you know, what do they do? I don't know what they do. I really don't. I mean, I expect them to get some value signing here. But, like, to your point and what they're talking about with Dak Prescott, right, CeeDee Lamb, right, that issue there, right, I got to think that continues here throughout the offseason. And, again, as I'll say it to you, you know, I think they have the best defensive player in football in Micah Parsons, who plays maybe the most chaotic, right, crazy man, psychoville version of football you can play, let alone I think he's probably the most physically gifted defensive player in football right now. Like, there is no way, as a fan of Micah Parsons and a guy that likes the human being, I sit here and tell him, do not step on the field until you're either the highest paid defensive player in football or the second highest paid defensive player in football. And that, from that standpoint there, yeah, I just look at it hard for Dallas to make a ton of changes to their roster that's going to make us think, whoa, wait, they went from, you know, divisional playoff team here to, wow, they're in the Super Bowl window. I got to see it to believe it, because it just doesn't seem like it's possible.
It's a mess. It's a mess. And we'll be talking about it throughout the offseason, which is one of the things Jerry Jones wants us to be doing. He wants us to be talking about what all in means, because if we're talking about that, we're talking about the Cowboys and not talking about something else. Yep. Let's talk about something else.
Yo.
Next topic. Browns going with Jameis Winston as the backup to Deshaun Watson over Joe Flacco means what?
Means they don't want to deal with the Joe Flacco questions or quarterback controversy or having to deal with that. They're going to go with a less popular backup that doesn't have, like, the heart and soul of the fan base behind him. Right, they don't want to hear, you know, Andrew Berry. I know we asked him at the combine, right? And I asked him, I was like, were you kind of happy you lost the wild card game? Because, you know, if you won the game, everybody was just going to put Flacco on another pedestal. And, geez, if you won that one, he was going to be, you know, the man in Cleveland. Right? They don't want to deal with that. There's enough pressure on the Browns, and as we talked about last week, there is enough pressure on Deshaun Watson. Year three there, the biggest contract in history of football, guaranteed. All of that has been put on Deshaun Watson's shoulders. They don't want him to play two so-so games, and the fan base started going, we want Flacco, we want Flacco, right? That's why. So that's what that means right there. They're trying to limit the talk and controversy in that locker room.
I agree with you completely. We talked about it last week, and it's coming to fruition. They didn't sign Flacco. They have Jameis Winston as the backup to Deshaun Watson. Last one, with salary cap space created by a restructuring of the Patrick Mahomes contract, there was $21.6 million in cap space generated by the Chiefs. The Chiefs need to address what, Chris?
Well, I think, you know, they lost a Nick Allegretti, right, in free agency. He's gone. There's certainly some questions there. I think on the O-line and the tackle position, right, is Donovan Smith a long-term answer there? And then I think it's – when I really look at it, you go, hey, the defense, it's pretty damn good. I mean, yeah, maybe they could use another defensive tackle in the middle, but damn, it's awesome. I think it's all about improving the O-line and then getting another receiver in the mix that they can depend on. I think that's what it's all about. Now, how they go about that, do they go draft, you know, O-line and free agency, try to find the receiver, or vice versa? I don't know. I think there are, and again, I haven't studied the tackles yet, but it sounds like there's a lot of good tackles, and there could be some good ones on the board at the end of the first round for them to draft there too. So, but I think those are the two things I look at on their football team that probably need to be addressed before anything else.
Absolutely, positively, pass catchers. Marquez Valdez-Scantling gone. Yes, Rashee Rice came on well as the season went on. Travis Kelce, they added Irv Smith Jr., by the way.
Yeah, it's a good add.
Former second-round pick of the Vikings,
right,
who spent a year with the Bengals. A lot of injuries, but if he's healthy, he can be a nice complement
exactly
to Travis Kelce. But, yeah, you need pass catchers. And the market for receivers really hasn't developed this year, so they may be able to grab somebody with some of this extra cash they have once we get a little deeper into free agency. All right, we're going to take a break as we get deeper into the show. By the way, Rod Woodson, also another Steeler.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a real good one.
Another one every segment. That's,
who gave
that's
you that
maybe
one?
The one that was bothering me. That came from a couple different people. That one comes from David and Charles and Rob.
David, Charles, and Rob. Damn, right out of the name book. The most bland. David, Charles, and Rob.
Wait a minute. These guys help us out, and you're going to give them a hard time about their names?
Well, you know, it's like you know, the old bit with Chris? George Carlin. I'm Chris. I got a normal name. I'm with them, so don't worry. I'm making fun of myself. You ever seen that stand-up with George Carlin? Yeah. It's great when he gets on it.
The names that suggest to the world you're an asshole.
Right.
The normal name.
Right.
I think I have.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. When we return, speaking of that, never mind. When we return,
you're amazing.
I don't even know how to tease this one. Yeah. You just want to stick
you're
around for what we're going to talk about
all
next.
Right,
we'll be right back.
Yeah, thanks, Liz.
We'll be right back. You know, this really isn't The Onion. It's real. It's not spectacular. And this is the tweet from Sauce Gardner. Aaron's about to become the VP. That's why he ain't been answering my text messages. That was very well done. Here's the backstory. And I'm going to take it even back to Chris. Let me make sure when I got this. This text came to me on Friday.
Yep.
1:52 p.m. from my internet son, Eric, also known as PFT Commenter.
I don't even know his real name.
Random
it's only
question.
PFT Commentator.
It's Eric. it's Eric, and it's Commenter, not Commentator,
oh, sorry.
But that's okay.
Commenter, yes, I know that. Sorry.
Common mistake. Random question. Have you heard any absolutely wild rumors about Aaron Rodgers in the past couple of weeks? This is not a question I'm asking you for content or anything. This is because between us, I heard a doozy. We go back and forth. He eventually says, this has to do with our nation. I heard he might be getting into politics. And that's all I'll say for now. And my response to him was, don't tell me he's going to be RFK's running mate. And that's exactly what I said. And he called me and he said he might be RFK's running mate. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. running for president as an independent.
Look at PFT Commenter all over the
Times.
News. Got it.
He's plugged in, baby.
He is. He's got these.
Confirmed in the New York Times.
He's a baller.
On Tuesday that Aaron Rodgers, the Jets quarterback, and Jesse the Body Ventura, the former governor of Minnesota and a professional wrestler and an actor, they're at the top of the list to be the vice president on the RFK Jr. ticket. Now, look, I think it's a publicity stunt aimed at giving RFK Jr. some attention at a time when this campaign's not going anywhere. He's not going to win. The question is, which side does he screw up more? Which side does he Ralph Nader a little bit more, taking away a percentage of their vote? Does it hurt Joe Biden? Does it hurt Donald Trump? He's not going to win. So getting this out there, a free day of publicity for RFK Jr. Chris, there's no way in hell Aaron Rodgers is going to do this. He's playing quarterback for the Jets. You can't play quarterback for the Jets and run for the second highest office in the land at the same time, especially when he himself said at his end of season press conference, we can't have these distractions. It's got to be all about winning.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, I think the Jets probably heard that yesterday. They're like, oh, my gosh, geez, we don't need that hovering over our organization right now and dealing with all that. I mean, it's a big year for the Jets. It's a huge year. Robert Saleh, I mean, he's on the hot seat. We know that. Most of the people in the organization are. Right? You know, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, they gave him a lot of money and put a lot of assets and pushed their chips in the middle table around Aaron Rodgers. So they want him to be all in, right? And you know, and again, rumor, whatever, it's cool to hear Aaron Rodgers' name in all this and all that. And, you know, you hear that stuff and go, well, it's crazy. And you go, well, I don't know. Is it that crazy? Right? I mean, the world we're in right now. But yeah, you can't do both. That's for sure. You can't. So I don't expect that to happen. I'm with you that it's a little more of an attention grab, and you know, I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Rodgers will probably comment on it or whatever, but you can't do both. That's not possible.
He needs to call into Pat McAfee's show today and say he's not going to do it, that he withdraws his name from consideration. It needs to die quickly before it becomes an untenable distraction for the Jets. It already is. This is ridiculous to have this hit while, you know, Jets fans have their dreams filled with visions of whatever pieces it's going to take to try to get the team to the Super Bowl. You don't need this. Here's his quote. End of season press conference. Anything that doesn't have anything to do with winning needs to be assessed. Anything in this building that we're doing individually or collectively that has nothing to do with real winning needs to be assessed. It's not a half the time thing. It's not a sometimes thing. It's not a most of the time thing. It's an every time thing. If you want to be a winning organization and put yourself in a position to win championships and be competitive, everything you do matters. And the bullshit that has nothing to do with winning needs to get out of the building. That's the focus moving forward. The same guy that said that has allowed this other thing to progress to the point where he's at the top of the list to be a candidate for VP. Now, presumably, he has acknowledged an interest in it to get to the top of the list. You don't get to the top of the list if you say, I don't want to do it. You get to the top of the list if you say, that sounds pretty good to me. So the whole thing is weird. The whole thing is bizarre. But is there anything that happens nowadays that surprises? I think after the last 8-9 years of politics in this country, we are past the point where anything will surprise.
That's what I was saying. Nothing. Nothing would surprise me anymore. But this would be up there. Starting quarterback of the Jets going with anti-vax, you know, RFK Jr. as he's being paid millions by Mr. Vax and Mr. Johnson. That would be, I mean, for you, you'd be writing articles left and right. That would be amazing. And again, you know, Rodgers isn't the one who threw his name out there. Yeah, he might have led people that he's interested to believe it, but I don't want to totally blame him here. You know, this is, you know, not coming from him here, but I do agree with you that, you right. know, he needs to squash it here pretty early on.
Yeah, this is simple. If he has no interest whatsoever, he already should have said so. The longer he's quiet, the more this is, you know, and it's, look, I mean, Chris, we were talking about this during the break, and I'm going to try to think of the best way to couch this. There was a time when Aaron Rodgers was obsessed with not being criticized by anyone. So he never said anything that would ever make waves. Once he shed that, he's just out there saying whatever he wants. The real Aaron Rodgers is available for anyone to pay attention to. And a lot of the stuff he says, a lot of people don't like. And a lot of people look at him as a guy who just wants to be the center of attention, a narcissist who wants to be the center of attention all the time. And when someone like that has been president not that long ago, why wouldn't he want to get involved in politics? So I'm going to keep my mouth shut lest I be assassinated by SEAL Team 6 in one of these coming months. Let's take a break. When we return, I hope SEAL Team 6 doesn't know where I live. When we return,
hope they do.
Which teams have improved the most? Thanks. Thanks. Well, I'll move to Connecticut right next door to you, and I'll tell them I live at your house. Take that. What teams have improved the most through the first 2 days of free agency? We'll draft them next here on PFT Live. This week, the best on the PGA Tour. Head to TPC Sawgrass for the 50th annual Players Championship. Don't miss any of the action Thursday through Sunday on NBC, golf, and all rounds are streaming on Peacock. All right, so you can watch some golf this weekend and continue to monitor the moves at ProFootballTalk.com because there will continue to be news and developments in the NFL as we go through the weekend. 2 days in to free agency, to the legal tampering period, with all the names. We were talking before the show, I think. It just seems like a lot of movement this year. We were talking about during the show. Hell, I can't remember. I can't remember what we say on the air, what we say off the air.
We were talking about before. Anymore, and but do you remember a year with so many 1- and 3-year deals, right? That, to me, has been one of the shocking things.
Yep. I think, look, hey, guys want fully guaranteed contracts. If you have fully guaranteed contracts, this is what all the contracts are going to be. There's not going to be 5-year deals. There's not going to be 4-year deals. There's never going to be 6-year deals. It's going to be 1, 2, and at the very most 3-year deals if they ever get to a point where all contracts are fully guaranteed. All right, the teams that improved the most so far in free agency. Chris, you're up.
Gosh, I mean, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I'm going to pick the Eagles first. I am. I mean, yeah. I mean, one... I mean, Saquon Barkley's a difference maker. Bryce Huff is one of the best pass rushers in football, right? He got stuck in the political world of the Jets who had, you know, 2 first-round picks at defense end, and he was an undrafted free agent. And, you know, they didn't trust it or whatever. But, you know, you add Saquon Barkley, score touchdown, big playmaker anywhere on the field, right? You get a Bryce Huff to go along with that. You re-sign and make sure you got one of the best guards in football back on your football team. Brandon Graham, re-sign, depth, culture, everything there. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, one of the craziest, psycho, awesome guys to have on your defense and tone setters in all of football. I mean, those moves right there are significant. Let alone we know Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat are on the trade block too, and they're going to get more assets from it. So, you know, again, the Eagles, the rich get richer, and they're having a great start to their offseason here.
Yeah, look, I agree with you completely there. I'm going to start with the Green Bay Packers getting Josh Jacobs, who transforms the running game. Yes, they see Aaron Jones go to Minnesota, and they're probably not going to bring back A.J. Dillon. But to get Josh Jacobs for the contract they got him for that doesn't have major guarantees, just $12.5 million, and then a reasonable second year, they're going to get two seasons out of this guy as they continue to develop Jordan Love. They add Xavier McKinney on the back end. This is a team that got to the final eight and that feels like it is ready to make a move at the top of the conference. And this is, you know, this is the kind of stuff that Brett Favre used to beg for, Aaron Rodgers used to complain about. This is such a big deal for the Packers to go outside their draft and develop, draft and develop, draft and develop, and make these moves. It tells you they're aware that a window is open for them, and they're going to try to go through it.
Yeah, no, it's refreshing to see. Maybe they're one of those teams that we've talked about a little bit that's realized, hey, we got to maybe adjust a little bit more to the times here. It can't just go, but this is how we did it, and we set this in stone 20 years ago, and we're going to, you know, hold to that. Those are big-time players. Xavier McKinney, he's awesome. So they're going to improve their defense. I'm with you. Those are big, big moves. All right. I'm going to go with one here, and it's not a lot of moves they've made, but they're significant to me, the two they did make. I mean, yeah, hello, Atlanta Falcons. Way to kick some crap and take away the Vikings quarterback. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. The more I think about it, the more I just go, damn, you know, it's a really good football team in Atlanta, as we know, right? There's a lot of pieces there. Quarterback was the biggest issue by far last year. They got that addressed. Got it addressed with a guy that already knows the system and all that. The defense was a top 10-ish defense all year, right? You know, then they add a Darnell Mooney yesterday to Michael Pitts and Drake London. I mean, Mooney's a hell of a player. They've missed that guy, right? So what did I say? Kyle Pitts, and I messed that up.
Said Michael Pitts.
Oh, sorry. That's, you know, I played with Michael Pittman, so it's confusing in my brain there. But, yeah, you know, to Pitts, London, Darnell Mooney, pair that with Bijan Robinson, and you got Kirk Cousins, certainly. And, you know, what I think it does, too, with those moves in quarterback and receiver, now it opens them up to take the best defensive player they deem available at pick number eight, which I think will be probably a pass rusher or something like that. But, yeah, those two moves are organizational-changing type of moves, and they were big time.
We haven't dwelt as much on the Falcons side of the Kirk Cousins thing. Let's do it after the introductory press conference and official, because
right.
I have some thoughts. Because just because the Vikings should have kept him doesn't mean that they should have spent all that money on him. But you may be on the right track. We'll see how Cousins recovers from the injury and how he performs.
Yep.
I'll go Ravens. We talked about this earlier. I'm not going to belabor the point. Getting Derrick Henry on day two on a two-year deal. And getting Justin Madubuike under contract long-term before Christian Wilkins got his deal. That was one of those sneaky, huge, this is why the Ravens have the game figured out. They knew to get Madubuike signed before Christian Wilkins breaks the bank because the price would have gone up. And I know that if you're under the franchise tag, there's only so much you can do. But when Wilkins gets his deal, that changes things. They got the deal done before Wilkins could get his contract. We got to take a break. We'll do one more round when PFT Live continues right after this. All right, one more round to go. The teams that improved the most in free agency. Chris, you're up.
Hey, I like the AFC South, right? Like, I think the Jaguars have some good value signings and things they've done. The Tennessee Titans have done a pretty good job, too. But I'm going to go back to the team we talked about early in the show, the Houston Texans. I mean, you know, Azeez El-Shaair, middle linebacker, and you get Danielle Hunter to go along with it, and a guy that is a great, you know, role player, not a star, in Danico Autry. Those are difference-making type of football players. That defense is going to be real deal in Houston this year.
I got to go with the Commanders just because, even though there isn't any one big name that screams out, you know, franchise changer, this draft is who improved. And where they were and where they are, they're spending the money.
Yeah.
They're adding a lot of players.
They are.
Headlined by Austin Ekeler, who's still, best years are behind him. But they're making new moves,
yes,
aimed at making their team better. And
right,
that's what free agency should be about. That's it for today. Everybody have a great Wednesday.
See ya.
See you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern.
Friday. It's almost like whoever named Friday knew it should be celebrated with free fries. Free Fries Friday at McDonald's. Get a free medium fries with any purchase of a dollar or more on the McDonald's app.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Offer valid through 9:30 to participate in McDonald's, excludes tax.